Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. And from all of us at the Legacy and Faith Show and from Planning with Purpose, the Law Office of Paul Grant, we want to wish you and your family a very joyous and happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. And getting to know Paul as the premier educator, I think, on this subject, certainly on
KCIS.
Well,
that's nice. Thank you.
People are learning lots from you through these last few months. And, of course, the last few shows is a really interesting discussion on the estate planning life cycle, Paul.
That's right.
And over the last two shows, we got into half of our eight planning life cycle steps. First one was the exploration and education. Number two is engage and create, and important part of that, counsel. Number three was financial integration. We left off last week with the continuation commitment. And do you want to still expound on that a little bit more, or are we moving on to number five?
I think we're going to head into number five, which is the family reception.
Okay,
and so kind of preparing
reception.
The family.
Okay.
So just as a quick review, the exploration and education is the call to get educated about what estate planning options are out there. In my opinion, it really rests upon educating yourself about what tool is proper for you. So typically it's either a will or a trust. It doesn't get much more complicated, but yet finding the right education of which one is good for you and will fulfill your vision, and really what God has given you as to be the steward of, and making sure that that's going to last a long period of time. There are different consequences in using a will versus a trust. And of course, we have a lot of education on our website. We have past podcasts, and we also hold educational sessions on a regular basis. And so you can go to legacyandfaith.com and check out those opportunities for exploration and education. Mm. We moved into number two, which is engage and create, which is with counseling. And so that's actually the discussion of needing to hire an estate planning attorney. And the call was that this is the action step. We got to take what we learn and actually move towards action, right? So faith without works is dead. And so we can't just sit on our laurels and have knowledge for knowledge's sake. We need to actually implement the plan. And my encouragement was find an estate planner that you trust and that you can work well with. Make sure that they have the proper educational program in their system and that they have a process of making sure that your plan is going to remain engaged. So number three was financial integration, that if you create a plan, your finances, your bank account, your financial institutions, your 401ks, your IRAs, your homes, vehicles, everything needs to align with the plan. So if there is a disconnect between what your account says versus what the estate plan is, now the estate plan isn't going to work properly. Mm-hmm. And then last week, we talked about the continuation commitment, and I mentioned it just briefly in finding the right attorney, which is that most estate plans fail because we don't update them regularly. And how often do we need to update them? Well, I gave a story to where I learned something new as an estate planner the next week after I created a plan. Mm. So the question was, how soon? I don't know, because for me, it was 1 week later that I needed to go back and make a fine-tune adjustment in a client's plan. And so you watch your family. You observe what goes on in your family. And by relationship, and that's the big deal. So the continuation commitment is all about relationship. Do you have an ongoing relationship with your estate planner? And in that relationship, does your estate planner have a systematic educational program that will assist you and your family to stay on top of everything? And if the answer is no, then they may not be the right estate planner. We may need to do a little more investigation back in the exploration and education process before mm-hmm. we're ready to engage. Mm-hmm. And so remain engaged through this. This is not a one and done. Just because you have the paperwork, this is not a good deed checkmark. Okay. This is about making sure that the plan works according to your vision.
And this is the part where you made the interesting statement. You thought that it was broken. This whole system is broken because of that element. People aren't staying in contact.
Yeah, the estate planning really system that society has accepted, in my opinion, really is broken, because we get into the thought process that I've done my good deed and that I've got my document, and somehow that document is going to save the day. No, our visions change. And so our lives change, our finances change,
our families change.
That's right. The law changes, taxes change. And this is an ongoing process in our life. We know that nothing is stagnant in our life. And that kind of goes back to the why can't I just create a simple plan? Because we don't live in a simple world. We live in a very complex world, and there's always things coming at us that want to interrupt our vision and really what God has told us to do as far as being stewards. And so we mix all of this together, and the issue is that the document can't save the day. Being on top and being engaged in the process will. That's what will create a predictable known outcome. Okay. And so now we're into kind of the family reception, which is that a lot of focus has been given on wealth transfer. And wealth transfer is really the discussion point of that I'm the creator of the plan, and so I have these different assets, and it's really how do I want to leave things to either my wife if she outlives me, and or my children when we're both gone. Okay, so in other words, the focus is on the asset again in wealth transfer. How do I save taxes in wealth transfer? How do I create a plan to make sure that the bank account is transferred properly, or that the house or business or whatever we own actually moves from me to whomever I've designed? And I want to use a slight variation of that, which is wealth reception. And that is a very critical difference in the perception of how we create a plan. So wealth reception is concentrating on who is going to receive what we are leaving behind and whether or not they are ready to manage it in the same manner and with the same vision that God has given me at this particular point in time. So here we're going to really, I guess I didn't prepare for this part of the plan, but we're just going to talk about it anyways. So look, God has given you the power to get wealth, is what the word says. Okay? So now he blesses you, and finances come into your possession, and he has given you charge, dominion, and we call that stewardship over those finances. And with that stewardship, I think as Christians, we can readily agree that there is a responsibility that comes with that, to use it well, to use it in line with what God has shown us. And it's been my proposition on this radio show several times before, and so I'm going to say it again, which is, it is my philosophy that that vision is not supposed to die when you die. And so the vision of you being the patriarch with what God has entrusted in you, it is our responsibility to pass that down to the next generation well. And if I haven't prepared the next generation, then how do I expect them to continue the vision that God has started? So if we go all the way back to the Old Testament and we look at Abraham receiving the vision, and God told him to look up at the stars and look down at the sand, and that your descendants are going to be as numerous as them and exceed them. There was a vision that he was given, and that needed to be properly handed off in order for the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, because that was the ultimate fulfillment of that vision. Mm. If Abraham chose not to fulfill that vision. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that there's not a lot of biblical support for this, but I'm not so sure that the vision didn't start with Abraham's father, because he was called out of his own country, but then got stuck halfway in between. And Abraham followed him out of that initial country. But then when Abraham's father got stuck, that's all we ever heard about him. So we don't know if God actually had designed for his father to actually move to the land of prosperity to start it with him. Maybe we would have been talking about his name more than Abraham's. Mm-hmm. But he got stuck. And so then Abraham was the next person. And God found somebody who he could entrust the vision for and was able to then pass it generationally on. And I believe that that is what we are called to do as Christians. Mm-hmm. We are called to pass the vision that God has given us on generationally, and that it's not supposed to end and stop and die with us. So then if I truly believe that, then you also understand a little bit of my bend as a person then falls into how I coach and how I counsel in estate planning, mm-hmm. which is that I can't just write a check to my kids. Because then it's on them to have a proper vision instead of utilizing a trust to where I can actually help them accomplish the vision. And so if we therefore buy into the idea that I have been given a stewardship opportunity, and it's my opportunity then and my privilege to teach the next generation of what it means to walk in that wealth, okay, and that could be spiritual wealth. It could be emotional and mental wealth. It can be actual wealth as far as a bank account. All of these things have been entrusted to us. And so whether it's a spiritual journey, whether it's a material journey, we need to pass it properly onto those that are supposed to carry on what has been entrusted. So therefore, family reception is not about how do I just get the money someplace. It's about, is the next generation or are my kids prepared? And if they're not prepared, then how do we prepare them properly to ensure that the stewardship and the mantle of privilege is passed on to them properly? I don't believe that that can happen outside of utilizing a trust. It's just that's my personal bend. A will is great. It's a great place to start. We need something. It moves an account from one person to another. But a trust is actually going to allow us to build this philosophy that says, if I didn't quite accomplish what I wanted to accomplish, now I'm going to trust the instrument to take over where I didn't quite fulfill my vision. And so I know that may blend with some of you, and I know some of you may struggle with this portion of the program of what we just talked about. But the ultimate discussion point is, are our children ready to receive and use what we have passed on well? And that's where I find that wealth reception, the one who is receiving, needs to be prepared versus wealth transfer is, I just got to make sure the accounts move. So there's a difference in philosophy there, but I think it's a really, really important philosophical difference.
Okay, interesting discussion. Once again, estate planning life cycle. We're on number 5. I think we're going to be able to move on to number 6 here, life adjustments.
That's
in
right.
Just a moment. People are intrigued. They can tell you love to educate and tell people how to help, or you want to help people with their estates, obviously. How do people find out more?
Head on over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. You can find educational programs to sign up for, to have more of information given to you. And all of our past podcasts are there as well. So legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, learning lots this week on the estate planning life cycle. Before we move on to number six, life adjustments, you did want to give a little of addendum to the family reception part.
Yeah, and really the family reception can only happen with education. So during this series, you've been talking to people about how I like to educate. So a part of really going back to number four, which is the continuation commitment, which is what does it mean to stay engaged with a law firm? What does it mean to stay engaged in a relationship with your attorney? A part of that also needs to be what education is the attorney providing to accomplish number five, which is family reception. So is the attorney taking the time? Is the attorney developing programs to help the family transition well before somebody passes away? Mm. So we can create plans all day long, but if we don't engage the next generation in the plan, of course, I understand that there's family dynamics out there. I understand that not every family is ready to say, oh, yes, let's invite my child who keeps stealing from me into the planning process. Okay. Oh, I get it. So we all are unique, but as a philosophy, as an umbrella, we want to engage the next generation and prepare them. So part of the family reception discussion is, if someone passes away, is this the first time that the family's ever met the attorney? If that's true, then the family's going to be walking into the attorney's office and they're going to be defensive. Mm. They're going to starting a new relationship at the time when we lose someone who's important to us and that we love and that we're emotionally attached to. Not the best time to really engage in new relationships. It's not the time to learn something new. We will forget it. Okay. Oh, we have the parking lot rule, which is that 90% of anything I ever teach you will be forgotten by the time you hit the parking lot. And it doesn't matter which parking lot you're going to. So you listen to this radio show, you may have learned something new. By the time you go to your car in your driveway, you will forget 90% of this. It's okay. I understand. That's why we repeat ourselves. And so when we do have educational programs, so at Planning with Purpose, we have specific educational programs for to train our successor trustees, to train the family so that they are ready with some base knowledge. It's not the first time that they've been introduced to the firm. It's not the first time that they've heard, how am I going to close this trust? It's not the first time that they've seen the process of what it looks like. It's not the first time that we have to walk in and actually start this journey.
You're talking more than just the executor of the estate, who might be as a family person, like the oldest sibling, the oldest son.
Yep.
Who's going to be the executor.
Yep.
You're talking about everybody who's involved with the trust in any way.
Yeah, that's right. And it will start with the successor trustee or executor to make sure that they understand the process. But this is a key component to the family reception is, are they ready? Are they ready to pick up the plan and actually walk it out so that the plan can succeed? This is not a magic book that I create. It's not a magic piece of paper. It doesn't just do it on its own. And so we have to have someone who engages. That's the executor. That's the successor trustee. They're the ones who are empowered to hire the firm. They're the ones who are empowered to actually sign the documents, to make the transfers, to do everything that we need to do in closing. We'll get there at the settlement system. Mm-hmm. But everything that we need to do stems from that person of authority that we've named. Are they ready? Or is this the first time they've seen the document? And is this the first time that they've met the attorney? And have they never done this before? Or even if they have done it before, it's been so long that they forget. Or they have done it before, but they potentially did it inaccurately.
Mm. Yeah, a personal story here. Again, I was named the successor trustee in my aunt's estate. But that was about all I knew.
Correct.
She said, you're the successor trustee. You're the successor. She kept communicating this to me.
Yeah. And you go, whatever.
You got another 20 years to live, Aunt Colleen.
And, yeah.
But then she died much earlier than she was planning. And so I had to look at the book and kind of figure it out.
And go,
there was nobody, if I'm recalling correctly, there was no contact information to whoever wrote this for her.
Yeah.
It worked well. But I would like to have had a little bit of instruction.
That's right. And so even your own journey of the result was finally accomplished. Great. But could have we taken some of the stress off of you? Could have we taken some of the angst?
It was very stressful.
So could have we sped that process up? And could have we given you greater security that you were doing it properly? And by the way, that also means that in that security, I'm also, as the attorney, protecting you so that it can't come back on your head. So in your journey, did you ever think about that? Oh my gosh, what are the consequences if I do this wrong?
I heard stories, yeah. So that's why I held on to the documents for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, they're probably still in my closet.
Yeah, I'd say, well, you're probably safe to get rid of them now. But nonetheless, see, all of these things and your personal story, so thank you so much for sharing that. That's what we want to eliminate. We don't want the family walking in at the last moment going, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And so, and then not only that, but have we educated the actual beneficiaries? So if I'm supposed to receive things in trust, do I know how to use that? Do I know how to leverage it to my advantage? And by the way, you can leverage a trust to your advantage when it's built properly and when it's used properly. So we want to make sure that in all the education, it's not just about wealth reception and whether we've trained them well in the vision, but it's also the practical stuff of training them how to ensure that they're ready to close an estate. And then when they do receive whatever they're entitled to, that they use it well and that they leverage it to their advantage.
Okay.
And so that is kind of the family reception component. And we're going to try to knock out the life adjustments. Actually, I know I can get this done before the end of the show.
Okay, well, let's move on to number six, life adjustments. What do you, just like it says, life changes.
That's right. And this is really from the perspective, again, of the creator. And I've mentioned it in past shows. Well, we all want to live a long, healthy life. Okay, that we operate well, that our bodies are healthy. But we know by watching the ways of this broken world, okay, because we live in a fallen world, that, and it's not God's design that we have brokenness, sickness, disease. Those are tools of the enemy. Okay, he alone came to kill, steal, and destroy. And yet the word says that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the enemy. So we know that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have victory in these areas, and that by his power and might, we can have our bodies manifest that healing. At the same time, we want to use our wisdom and make sure that we're prepared. And life has a way to throw us a curveball. Not all of us are ready for that curveball, and we need to be. And that's what this section is that in really the continuation commitment, it's a commitment to yourself first. It's a commitment to have a relationship with an attorney that you know will be there so that if life throws us a curveball, that we can face it together, that we can make the fine-tune adjustment in your finances, in your plan, in whatever else needs to take place to ensure that you and you alone are protected first. As a matter of fact, I talk to clients all the time that my first job is to make sure that you, as a client, are protected first. That is my job. You walk into my office and you have my full and absolute attention. My job is not to start giving your money away. That happens after you're gone.
Right.
The first job is to protect you as an individual, to ensure that your money and what you have built up is utilized for your safety first, to make sure that your powers of attorney are operating and able to accomplish exactly these life adjustments that we need to walk together. But if you are in the document mentality philosophy, if you believe that I did my good deed, then those documents will begin to wear out. And when you are in an emergency situation, they may not be able to step in and fill the gap like we thought. So with a relationship, with an attorney, it needs to start with you. The change of philosophy that says, I need a relationship continuously, is paramount to making sure that you as an individual are protected and that life adjustments can happen as they come our way. And that's really the life adjustments. Let's make fine-tuned adjustments during your lifetime to protect you and you alone first.
Well, it's a very interesting discussion this week, continuing with estate planning life cycle. We thought maybe we were going to be able to finish out this cycle.
Oh, no, I knew we weren't going to be able
you knew,
to.
You could tell about halfway through that. I knew when we had the addendum to the family reception that we were not going to make
right.
it. But we'll still be looking at on next week's show. I'm sure we'll be able to finish this
that's
up.
That's right.
Settlement system, number 7 and number 8, the legacy fulfillment. That's a two-parter. Surviving spouse care and security, and also heir security. So definitely, as particularly the way Paul fleshes out these subjects, we'll be able to have one more show.
That's right.
And you don't want to miss that next time. But if people are already intrigued, they know they need help, they need to explore and educate, you have ways to educate people right there on your website.
That's right. So if you have found that your estate planning life cycle is not fully going as you need it, then head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can contact us, sign up for education, listen to past podcasts, and we can get your estate planning life cycle back on course and then make sure that it actually is managed for your life adjustments.
Legacyandfaith.com. Great information always. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.